something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
On today's episode, we are back at the Commandery in Worcester, having another exciting history lesson. Last time, we learnt how praying to St. Wulfstan can help grow your penis back. Emphasis on back. This time, we're learning all about the English Civil War. My guide, Megan, is going to show me her jerkin, her death mask, and her ramrod. Lucky me. I think. If I'm honest, I don't actually know what any of those words mean. Megan, would you like to introduce yourself? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I am the Learning and Outreach Coordinator here at the Commandery.
And just in case you need a quick recap on the Commandery.
It started as a monastic hospital, then it went into a family home owned by the Wild family. In 1651, it became the Royalist HQ during the Battle of Worcester, during the Civil War. During the Victorian times, it was a school for the blind sons of gentlemen. And then from the 20th century, it was a printworks owned by the Chubby family. And then it turned into a museum in the 1970s.
I'd like to hear more about it being a Royalist HQ. This is in the English Civil War. Royalist HQs, this is where the Cavaliers would be kicking around.
Yes, we were the Royalist HQ. We were just outside of the city walls. It wasn't the best place for Charles II himself to stay, because just in case it was laid siege to by the parliamentarians, he was further in the city to keep him safe. But it's where all like the generals would meet up and discuss what they were going to do when they got attacked.
Which generals are we talking?
The big one is Duke of Hamilton.
Okay, so talk me through him. Who is this guy?
The Duke of Hamilton. He is a duke from Scotland. So Charles II had actually been sort of exiled to France, and it was the Scottish who invited him back and said, if you come back, listen to our demands and we'll give you an army, which is really what he needed.
Charles II had been copping off with a French woman as well, hadn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's lots of rumours about Charles II. Mm. He did have quite a scandalous private life.
Yeah. So the Scots have promised to give him an army if mm-hmm. he does all these things for them. And that's why lots of Scottish people end up here in this building.
Yes. There are about roughly 15,000. But that doesn't sound too bad. Unfortunately, no. Cromwell had about 28,000 to 30,000.
That is nearly double. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot of round heads.
A lot of round heads. Mm-hmm.
If you're going into battle against 30,000 soldiers, you better be prepared. Luckily, prepared is my middle name. It's actually not. It's William Reynolds. But that doesn't sound as good.
What's happening now?
Getting dressed for war.
Ooh. So, what do I need to get ready dressed in for war?
So the first thing you'll need is a protective jerkin.
Can't go into battle without a jerkin.
You can't.
Imagine. You're terrible. Okay. What's a jerkin? A jacket?
Yeah.
It's like a gilet.
It's a little bit, actually, but it would help you with some of the sword cuts, help protect you a little bit. Because actually, sometimes in battle, they wouldn't want to wear the armour.
Just because it's hard to run and jump around in.
Yeah, they'd probably actually start taking off. You know, they'd be a bit more free without
take it off. Charge, you're able to start stripping immediately.
So we've got that, and then also we've got a helmet.
It's a round head.
Yeah, so this is a pot helmet. So normally you'd probably be a pikeman if you were wearing this. Yeah. And over here we have got a pike.
So that is a big pike.
Yeah, pikes were very, very long.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the most skilled soldiers within the Civil War to be a pikeman. If you weren't very good at being a pikeman, you'd be sent to be a cannoneer. Pikemen would also then have a sword because obviously when it's quite close range fighting, the pike's a bit useless. So they then do need a sword.
Yeah. So you have your sword on your side, your pike in your hand.
Yeah. And actually the main thing they'd do with the sword wasn't actually like stabbing or slicing at people. They'd be more using it to break bones because you'd get people off the battlefield. If you go around breaking lots of people's collarbones, they're not going to be able to fight.
So they just like tap the collarbones?
Well, they'd probably need to give it quite a whack.
Sure.
But yeah, that's okay. What they'd do.
Fair enough. Really? Why do they not want to kill them?
I'm not saying they wouldn't, but if you're quite close range and you can't maybe stab them, just giving them, you know.
To be honest, if I'm in the heat of battle, that is too specific a tactics. I'm just going, I'm just swinging, I think. Let's talk about the actual battle then.
So the Battle of Worcester was on the 3rd of September 1651. The initial part of the battle didn't actually take place in the city centre. It was a bit further out near Powick, which is not far from Worcester. So there was the river. And on the side closest to the city was where the royalist forces were. On the other side is where the parliamentarian forces were. So Cromwell had to come up with a way to get his soldiers over.
Suggestion number one for me would be, could do a bridge.
Could do a bridge. What would you make the bridge out of?
I haven't thought about that bit yet. No. There must be some trees around the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we chop some trees down?
So instead of chopping the trees down, they had boats. And they
A boat? I'll use the boat then.
It'd be quite a long, like, to keep going from either side of the river. Whereas if you had a bridge, they could just walk across it and they'd get across. Because, I mean, if you're the royalist soldiers, you'd probably just start attacking little groups that came across.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason why I'm not in the military. Did not follow my father's footsteps. I am a jester. I will entertain the troops while you build the bridge. Do you like juggling? Okay, so they are building the plan is to build a bridge.
Yeah. So they make a bridge out of boats.
Make a bridge out, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a clever idea.
Very clever.
So then the soldiers can just walk across then. So from then they start fighting. And it doesn't go well for the royalists at this point because they're outnumbered and they start to retreat within the city. And Charles II can see that from within the city. He's on the top tower in the cathedral.
Looking out.
Yeah. And he can see his soldiers retreating.
Yeah. They're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
If they're winning. Oh no, it's not good at all.
So Charles II came down from the cathedral and he went to speak to the Duke of Hamilton because they were like, it's not going too well, we need to think of a plan. Mm-hmm. And they decided to take two groups. One went with Charles II and went one way to attack the parliamentarian forces. Duke of Hamilton went out St. Martin's Gate and then took his group around to attack on the other side. So it was like a pincer movement. Which, I mean, it sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a great idea. Sensing a but.
But
yeah.
It didn't go well and they had to retreat back into the city. Unfortunately, at this point, Duke of Hamilton gets shot in the leg.
Oh, God. Going from bad to worse.
I know. So he's, you know, losing one of his top generals, person he relies on.
Yeah.
He's now out of battle. He actually gets brought to the commandery.
At this point, you want to start praying to Wolfstan and regenerate your leg.
Yes, definitely.
Or just get another penis. Does he just do penises? I need a leg. Anyway, so he does arrive back here.
Yes, so okay. He's back here. Charles II, he has to retreat back into the city as well. And he's aiming to get into Sidbury Gate. But there's a problem now with him going back in there, and that is because of somewhere called Fort Royal. So I've not mentioned Fort Royal yet.
No.
But it's quite an important part of the battle.
Okay.
If you're in the Commandery Gardens, you'll be able to look out and you will see a hill. At the minute, it looks quite nice. There's like a park on there, so nice and green, there's trees. But it was actually like a man-made mound, and it was a fort, like a star-shaped fort that was built for the Civil War. So when they came here in the August, like late August, they were getting that ready for battle. Fortunately, they didn't complete the eastern side.
Right.
So there's about 1,000 soldiers up there. and on each point they had a cannon.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, you'd probably need around 5 people to be able to fire a cannon. So you'd have different officers, and actually they didn't really care who you were. You were whatever you were doing in the part of the cannon drill.
Okay.
So the first one.
This is like a Formula One pit stop. It's great.
I mean, they'd have to be really quick.
Yeah, sure. So first one, number one.
You'd be Officer Worm.
Officer Worm?
Officer Worm. And your job is the first step. After it had been fired, you would go and get the tool, which is called the worm.
Is that that twiddly little pigtail one?
Yeah. Yeah, it does look like a little pigtail, doesn't it?
It does.
But yeah, it's that one. He would take the instrument, put it into the barrel and get rid of any embers that were left there, stamp them out if they fell to the floor so it's ready to be reloaded again. Then you'd have Officer Wet Mop, okay, and just to doubly make sure that everything's gone from inside the cannon, they would put that usually in like water and urine. That would go down the barrel and clean it all out. Then you'd have Officer Dry Mop, which would dry the inside of the cannon. You'd then have, and it's probably my favourite name, Officer Powder Monkey. And Officer Powder Monkey would go and get the powder, very carefully take it to the cannon, because if you dropped anything on the floor, obviously it could catch fire. That would go down the barrel, and then they would take it out. You'd then put whatever you're firing out of there, and Officer Ramrod would come and just make sure it's all down at the bottom of the barrel. Then you'd have the captain come along, and he'd be the one ready to light it. So at the very end, he'd put some fine powder down the little hole, and then when everyone was clear, he would light that, and that would fire the cannon.
And roughly how long would that whole process take?
I think they'd really want it to be maybe like a minute.
A minute? Oh, that's quick.
They would be quite well-trained at it, but sometimes it'd probably be longer than that or not.
Sure. depending on how good your officers are at each step.
Yes.
If your ramrod is not up to scratch. Which can often be the case.
This could be quite a good comedy scene.
A great comedy scene.
I'm trying to
really, yeah, absolutely. All the different sticks and poles. All the different nibs.
Yeah. I mean, by the time, like, they'll be quite used to doing it. They might not need someone shouting it. Obviously, when I'm doing this to groups of people...
Oh, so they're going, worm, ramrod, monkey.
Might just be that they know.
Yeah, sure.
The worm would just come and all of that. But it's funnier to imagine that someone's got to shout the names. And...
That's what I want to imagine, yeah. Absolutely.
So initially, the royalist forces were firing these cannons down on the parliamentarian forces, which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like it's going well.
Yeah, they had the high ground. They were pretty safe up there. After the Duke of Hamilton and Charles II retreated, they then had their next target of Fort Royal. Now, let's think about your tactics. Which side are you going to attack on Fort Royal? Which side is not completed?
Oh, yeah, the east side.
Yeah. So they attack on the eastern side because there's the weakness. They send a messenger and they say to the royalist forces, if you surrender, we won't kill you all.
That is certainly the most civil thing about this war.
I know. I think it's quite nice.
It is nice.
What do you think the royalist forces do?
Do they shoot the messenger?
They shoot the messenger.
Oh, don't do that. Literally, we're told every day don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. but they don't listen to that. They shoot the messenger. So the parliamentarians have no mercy.
Yeah, sure, fair.
Yeah, and they kill pretty much all the soldiers up there.
I don't want to pick sides, but I feel like I'm team parliamentarians.
Are you team? I never know which side I'm on.
They just seem like they're conducting themselves a bit better.
Oh, yeah, they're better.
Yeah. So they do just come in the east side and absolutely just...
Yeah.
It's an absolute devastation.
Yeah, a bloodbath up there. But yeah, now that they've took over that... Those cannons which were firing onto the parliamentarians have now been turned onto the city.
So the cannonball's actually hitting into the city?
Yeah. Which is actually quite a surprising move. You know, like, Cromwell would have known the civilians. But also, if he wins this battle...
He's won the whole thing. Hey, go for it. I have heard a story that actually... The night before the battle, Oliver Cromwell had made a pact with the devil.
Yes. So it was said the night before battle that he was walking around in Perrywood, which is the area of Worcester, and that he came across an old man and just started to talk to him. And the old man said, "What do you most desire?" So obviously, the night before battle, what would Oliver Cromwell want?
To win the battle.
To win the battle, to end the civil war. So the old man says to him, "But tomorrow you will win the battle, but... in 7 years, you will die." And it's revealed then he's the devil.
How's it revealed?
I'm imagining, like, he's wearing a big cloak with a big hood and then really, like, flamboyantly, like...
Goes up with his, like, red horns and a big black beard. Oh, my God, it's you! I know you! Yeah, yeah, it's me.
So, yeah.
Wow. Why 7 years? Is seven the number... No, six is the number of the devil.
Yeah.
Just giving a little courtesy year as well.
One extra year.
Yeah, why not? Hey, I'm the devil, but I can still be nice.
And he did die, like, 3rd of September.
He did die 7 years later?
Yeah. On the same day.
On the same day? No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. 3rd of September, 1658.
Oh, my God. That is actually quite scary. That is quite spooky.
That's why you always have the argument of, was it a coincidence? And then someone was like, that would make a really good story.
Yeah, sure. Don't let the truth stand in the way of a good story.
Hey, that's the bad manners motto. That and, if in doubt, make it up. After Cromwell croaked, a death mask was made, which was a wax casting of his face. They were often made after important figures had died to serve as a model for sculptors. Or, of course, if anyone wanted a disturbing memento.
So this is actually one of the copies of his death mask.
Okay.
So when he died, he would have been embalmed, and then they would have made the first wax mould of his face, and then lots of others would have been made.
And they say it was made by taking an impression of his face within hours of his death. So he dies, and then they get like a bloke with some silly putty to come and just take an impression.
Yeah. Again, this might have been someone's job going
around. Yeah, probably. Quite a specific job.
Yeah.
So that really is Oliver Cromwell's face. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look very happy.
No, I mean, I don't
know. He is dead.
How happy would you be if you were dead?
Yeah, I guess.
No, he's very unhappy that the seven years are up.
Fair. God, that's 7 years of just counting down the days. Yeah. No wonder he died. He probably died of stress knowing that was coming.
Yeah. Or like, you know, having to run the country.
That as well. The combination of the two would have been lethal. So we know what happened to Oliver Cromwell. Mm-hmm. What happened to Charles II?
So Charles II just about made it back into the city. It's said, because the cannons were then firing into the city, there was dead bodies piling up in front of Sidbury Gate, and that the only way he got back in alive is because he had to crawl on his hands and knees under a cart, and he got back into the safety of the city.
Wow.
But then he knew at this point that...
Yeah. As he's crawling through dead bodies, he's going, this is not going 100% awesome for me.
No. He decided he needed to get out of there. There was actually a cavalry charge in the city on the high street. It's actually the last cavalry charge which took place on English soil.
Really?
Yeah.
How many horses are we talking? Do we know that?
I'm not sure, actually. But it was more as like a distraction.
Right.
So they were going to charge at the parliamentarians. This is when Charles II was going to get out.
I see.
So he went, he left.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. We rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worcester, and he had a very long journey to escape to safety to France. That included him hiding up an oak tree. He had to dress as a woman. He had to hide in lots of the priest holes in people's houses. Mm-hmm. And he was quite tall, so he's not really the type of person who could blend in anywhere or fit into...
Didn't he have a moustache and a little beard as well?
I think so, yeah.
Who's quite... that exceptionally ugly woman up that oak tree? She should come down. We're about to go into the escape room where Charles II is said to have escaped. And we're going to be meeting Alice, and she's going to give us an escape room challenge.
Yeah.
Excellent. Lead on.
Okay, let's go.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
I'm here to entrap me.
Yes, so we are.
So I can get escape.
In the museum floor.
Is this it? Very creaky floorboards, isn't it?
It's brilliant, yeah. So we're up in the attic at the commandery, so we're off the usual visitor path.
Do people not normally get
so
to come here?
They don't normally get to come up here, no.
Exciting.
And we've got this new escape room.
Please lead on.
Let's go inside. I can't open it.
It's hard, that you can't escape into the room, let alone out of the room.
So, this is our room.
Oh, this is exciting.
Hi, my name's Alice. I'm Museums Marketing Officer here at Museums Worcestershire. And we're going to be having a go at the escape room commandery quest at the commandery. So when you arrive, you get to hear the story of the escape room just out there where we were before.
What is the story?
So the story is that King Charles's great seal was hidden at the commandery.
I didn't know Charles had a seal.
He did have a seal, not the animal.
Oh, right. Oh. Have you met Henry the Seventh Walrus?
And it's been hidden all of these years since the Battle of Worcester in 1651. And now you've got to find it.
I've got to find the seal.
Yes. But the critical part of the story that I didn't tell you is that Artie Snitch, who is a notorious thief.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
Oh, God.
He's going to be here in an
it?
Hour. Scotland Yard have let us know.
That's all I get. So I just got to now go for...
Yeah. So now you're in this room full of museum store things.
Okay.
You've got to find a little wooden box and solve the puzzle inside.
Okay.
Off you go.
Start the timer. We go over here towards the mice heads first. Let's see if there's anything underneath them. Nothing. There's a space launch button. It's very futuristic in this corner.
Do you want me to give you a warm or cold situation?
Possibly for the best. I feel I'm in the sort of the future over here. So
you're in the future.
Am I cold over here?
You're a bit cold.
Yeah,
you're
Maybe I'll go to the fireplace. That seems like a good place to get warmer. And a little box. I'm opening the box. Oh, and there's jigsaw puzzle pieces.
There's a little jigsaw puzzle, yeah.
Oh, nice.
See what you can make of that.
Okay, well, start with the corners. That's what I was told. It's looking like... I'm going to go for that's the bottom corner. How long till the witch guy gets here?
56 minutes.
56 minutes? Okay, good. Well, that's...
Scotland Yard are keeping an eye on him, but they're not catching him yet.
How the hell is this working? I mean, if I was Charles II trying to escape and I had to get through this to escape, I think I'd just accept my own fate and just die. Yeah, stay and die. This is far too complicated if I was. I found the seal! Incredible! Does that mean I'm alive and I can escape?
You've escaped. You're welcome to leave the commandery if you should so wish.
Thank you. Are you going to come with me or do you want to stay?
I stay here.
You stay here?
Yeah. All the time.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
We've just escaped the commandery and now we are walking up the path to freedom. Oh, that mound is there.
Yep.
The lovely mound, Megan.
So
That's Fort Royal.
That's Fort Royal. Sorry, Fort Royal. Which was the final bit where the east side was not made and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where the parliamentarians took control and started to shoot at the city with the cannons.
It's quite steep. And you're saying that's about two-thirds about what it used to be?
Yeah, it would have been even higher.
Oh, wow. More padlocks and more bloody... We haven't escaped yet. There's still one more bolt. And we're out. I've finally made my escape from the commandery, which means it's goodbye from me, Officer Ramrod. Until next time, remember, if you're going into battle, don't forget your jerkin, don't shoot the messenger, but do mind your manners. Thanks for listening to Bad Manners. If you like the pod, please share it with your friends. Rate it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review and make sure you spill the tea on any of your favourite bad manners that we could feature in future episodes. This podcast was produced by Atomize Studios for iHeartRadio. It was hosted by me, Tom Horton. It was produced by Willa Malensky, Rebecca Rappaport, and Chris Attaway. It was executive produced by Faye Stewart and Zad Rogers. Our production manager is Caitlin Paramore, and our production coordinator is Bella Cellini.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.